I think so, yeah. I mean, the whole point of Plain Stupid is to raise awareness of climate change and to get angry, to be visibly angry at government for taking no political action to reduce climate change emissions. So this was interesting because it was one of their largest operations, 50-odd more people going in there, and it got very good coverage. And so, yes, in their terms, it was a great success.
Who are Plain Stupid?
Very interesting. Set up 3 years ago, 2005, by a bunch of university students. It's just grown out of all proportion. And very quietly, it's just got into the campuses. A lot of graduates. Most people, I don't have members. It's like a network of anybody who's interested in reducing climate change emissions can use the name if they're taking direct action about aviation. And so I'd say there's probably 200 or 300 people who have used the name Plain Stupid in Britain at the moment. But as one of them was saying to me today, I mean, you know, something like this gets on the front pages, gets on telly, and they are going to get more and more and more. And there's a real parallel going on with this and the anti-roads movement of the 1990s. And it is growing exponentially, but especially in the sort of scientifically literate university campuses and colleges of education. And it's seen as a really sort of sexy thing to do.
And Ed Miliband, the Environment Secretary, calling in only on Monday for a mass movement to galvanise leaders for climate change.
It's a fantastic timing. I'm pretty sure that he was there himself, but undercover, as it were. Yeah, I mean, he is quite rightly identified the fact that if you are going to have major change, it needs to be personal change, and you do need a mass movement. And then lo and behold, within hours, he's got the vanguard of this movement out there and, you know, doing the business.
And the timing of it, obviously, before Poznan this week, where ministers are flying out tomorrow to discuss a successor to the Kyoto Protocol.
Absolutely right. Timing absolutely brilliant in two ways, because it was, you know, here's the thing about global warming, and it was one of the coldest mornings of the year, and also the major UN climate talks in Poznan, which today had a day off. The ministers turn up on Wednesday. They've got one heck of a lot to get through, and there's already talk of it stretching into Saturday now. Three major blocks are immediately emerging. The America has turned up with the Bush team, and in other words, the old thinking. And they're just playing a very, very low profile, but it means that nothing can go ahead. And Europe has got itself into a right mess with a lot of infighting between countries like Italy and Poland objecting to Europe's 2020 targets, and countries like Britain and France trying to keep it on track. So infighting there. And secondly, Europe cannot decide and will not decide how the whole thing, how the major parts should be funded. And so any decision on funding is now being deferred till March or April next year. The result is almost certainly, you know, we will get some kind of statement, but it will be a very, very low-key thing, I fear, at the moment.
How's the science on climate change changed since Kyoto?
Well, it's a pretty bleak subject in the sense that there's nothing really which suggests it's going to get any better. That all the indicators suggest warming, accelerating, more threats from climate systems, which are sort of feeding systems and whatever. It's not looking good. Scientifically, the consensus now is terribly strong that not only is it happening and taking place, it's going to be much worse than we thought. And if there is action to be taken, then it has to be done very quickly to keep it at a reasonable level, in other words, something like 2 degrees centigrade rise over the next 80, 90 years, as opposed to 4 or 6 degrees, which is effectively a disaster, a catastrophe of the first order. So the science at the moment is looking very bleak indeed.
John, many thanks.